You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, if I really, really would, but the feeling in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the wall, and I'd like to get the information, asking for the word, but makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, but makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two, everybody, and you are indeed listening to the Common Sense Show. I am your host, Dave Hodges. Katie Whalen's flying co-pilot with me patiently in case yours truly gets taken down. It's a practice that we've employed here on the Common Sense Show since the early days when Annie used to be our news director prior to retirement. And we've had trouble with that, and Katie graciously offers to volunteer and come and do that. She's going to be presenting her segment, which I'm really looking forward to, in hour number three, in which we'll have an extended segment. Just want to mention a couple things here before we go back to Josh. Someone sent me an email during the break and said, Dave, with the seriousness of what you're talking about, how can you remain so sedate? And that's, they said, are you sedated? Are you actually taking something, Dave? No, I'm actually feeling pretty well. I am sedated with, Dr. Ted's extracts that he's sending me, his vitamins and nutrients and so forth. It's really got me over this stuff a lot quicker than I would have. And Katie's essential oils. So in that sense, yes. But in terms of, am I taking any Xanax? The answer is no. And I'm not really sure how I should approach this. I could come on here and yell and scream and be bombastic. I think there's enough of that on the air. I think what I want to have is a intellectual, calm discourse. There is a time to get upset, and we occasionally do get upset on the show. But I think if we're going to come up with rational conclusions to these major problems and come up with rational solutions, that we need to be of clear mind. And some of that involves just taking things in stride and going to the next step and looking ahead and solving the problem. And speaking of solving problems, just want to mention again that our sponsors for this hour include Steve Quayle of Renaissance Precious Metals, where I am a very, very happy customer, where I've converted a great deal of my soon-to-be useless cash into gold and silver. And I'm happy as a lark. And you got to make that buy without looking at what the market is bearing right now. Because when it all crashes, what the market said the gold was worth today is not going to matter, because that's the only thing you're going to be able to use for currency. So I would encourage you to give Steve a call tomorrow, or someone in Steve's office, because he's under the weather. And that number is 406-586-4842. Again, that's Steve at Renaissance Precious Metals, 586-4842. And I also wanted to mention our newest sponsor at DETC, which is a tactical group, and they sell all kinds of gun accessories. That's something that I've always wanted to get into, because folks, when the people are on the street and the army is in martial law and they've cordoned off the cities and no one in, no one out, you're not going to be able to call 911. No one's going to come help you. You got to help yourself. And if you're not gun proficient, you better get gun proficient. For example, I live in the Phoenix area. We do our gun trading locally in a couple of establishments. You have them in your town. I would really advise you to go there, but you're going to need accessories. You're going to want to have the right magazines. You're going to want to have the right kind of weapon. And to do that, you can go to, I just lost my place on this. Here it is, DETCTactical.com. That's D as in David, ETCTactical.com/Hodges. And anything that's on that site, if you use the coupon code Hodges, you'll get 5% off. And again, of course, Bob Griswold at ReadyMadeResources.com has his night vision goggles available, night vision equipment, and it's an absolute necessity. You need to have it for the reasons we talked about in the last hour. And I would encourage you to go to ReadyMadeResources.com tomorrow morning, look at what he has available, and give him a call at 1-800-627-3809. And I want to mention one more thing, and this isn't a sponsor of our show. It's something that I'm involved in. So Katie knows about this, I think. And Josh, pull up a seat here and the rest of the listening audience. I'm sick of Facebook. I don't like Zuckerberg. I don't like their policies of banning people because they write about Hillary, because they say that immigrants should be screened to their suitability to be in this country. In other words, are we going to let in terrorists? We should be screening Muslims, and no, Donald Trump is not saying keep all Muslims out. What he's saying is we need to know who we're admitting into the country. Are you sick of Facebook doing this kind of crap and also making money off of you? And God forbid you attach something that you're selling on one of your articles or posts, because Facebook will come in and snatch it up. Well, there's an alternative to this, and it's called Seen.life, and that's all you need to put into your browser, Seen.life. And I've got a Common Sense Show page up there, The Common Sense Show at Seen.life. Registration's free, no spying, the NSA is not part of it, there is no censorship, as long as you're not threatening to hurt people and you're not selling illegal things, there's absolutely no censorship of topics. I am so excited about this. This has been going strong now for about 3 days, and I can't believe how it's taking off. And as we can expose more people to this, we can say goodbye to Zuckerberg, the NSA, and Facebook once for all. Boy, I should do an ad for them. That sounded pretty good. But, yeah, because they're not one of our sponsors. They are brought to you by Chris Kitsky and Mike Roach. They're running that end of it. Friends of mine, people I know well, and I would encourage you to visit Seen.life. Well, let's go back to Josh. And, Josh, let's pick up where you left off.
Okay, sure. And by the way, you're one of the few hosts that I know of that you know, you just did a promo for those people, and you're not even being paid for it. That's pretty good.
I believe in it. So these are good guys. It's a good service, and Facebook needs to go away. We need to walk away from Facebook.
Well, I worked in radio for a little while, and I've never met any other host that would be willing to do that, other than myself, of course, because I'm so noble, you know, just incredibly noble. But yeah, you are a pretty sedate guy, Dave. I got to give you that. You are a pretty sedate guy. You've called me and we've talked for, you know, every time Dave calls, I have to set aside an hour, because we end up doing an hour and then we're not even on the air. And I always have to set aside an hour for you. But you'll call and you'll tell me the most wild, insane stuff, because even as insane as the stuff that we talk about on the air is, the stuff that you and I talk about goes even further, and you'll just be, yeah, I think they're tapping my phone. Yeah. And I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah, thanks for putting that Southern accent on my characterization. Yes, okay.
You're welcome.
Can make me a Southern boy, that's all right. I like the South. I love the South. And under Trump, the South shall rise again.
Yeah, that's good. That's pretty good. I was saying earlier when I first saw that story out of Arizona, where they blocked traffic. I think it was Black Lives Matter people that came out and blocked the traffic on the way to a Trump rally, I think. And that was the first thing I thought was, that's Dave's neck of the woods. I wonder if he's in. You weren't in that, were you, Dave? You weren't in the traffic line, were you?
I'm going to hold up my cowardly hand here and say I hit the chicken switch. My son wanted me to take him out there, and I looked at what was going on in Chicago and what happened in Utah on Friday night, and I saw the live footage. And if I took my son out to an event like that and he somehow got injured, I'd have a hard time coming home and facing his mama. And in that kind of mob scene, it's hard to protect yourself, much less a 15-year-old kid. So
you also may have to protect your son's life, and that could lead to some kind of incident, because these people are not rational in any way.
You've seen the videos where these people from MoveOn.org and Black Lives Matter will just jump right out of the crowd here and just viciously attack someone. Anyone can blindside anyone, and there's really no defense for it. There's nothing you can do. And that's one of the reasons why I begged off. And I will tell you this, I fully expect false flag attacks to begin happening. I expect acts of domestic terrorism promoted by ISIS, who we've let into the country, promoted by MS-13, who are domestic terrorists, who we've let into the country.
Right.
We detailed that 2 years ago on the Common Sense Show. And like I said, I think discretion is the better part of valor. I think people are really think twice about being in those venues, because I'm telling you, if the other side gets desperate enough and they want to blame the Patriot community, they are going to launch false flags on these convention gatherings. I have no doubt in my mind.
Well, the whole thing, you know, and using this to segue back into what you asked me a minute ago to pick up where I left off, this is, when I first found that story, the Brain Activity Map Project, and I saw that even Obama had mentioned it during his one of the State of the Union addresses, and you know, the initial story was a Boston Globe story, and I've actually got it pulled up here on my phone. I'll have to put you on speaker and read you the initial part of it. But when I first saw it, I knew they were going to use this. They were doing it under the cover, as I said, for Alzheimer's research. They were doing it under the cover of Parkinson's disease research, and basically they were, you know, we need this project. It's going to be a great beneficial thing, but they didn't tell you that all these different federal agencies were going to be able to have access to the project. And when I found the Boston Globe story, they were the only ones who even came close to telling what the project was actually about, and they came close to doing it. And they were the only ones in the mainstream that even came close. But if you don't mind, I'll actually read you the top line of this, because I haven't been able to send it to you. So give me 1 second. Put you on speakerphone. Okay, here is your quote, top of the page, for those who want to look it up, as you were saying, for, you know, everybody likes to do their own research. Quote, White House to propose a new study of the human brain. In his State of the Union address, President Obama cited brain research as an example of how the government should invest in the best ideas. Quote from the Boston Globe, the Obama administration is planning a decade-long scientific effort to examine the inner workings of the human brain and to build a comprehensive map of its activity, seeking to do for the brain what the Human Genome Project did for genetics, which was, you know, mapping the human genome, mapping human DNA, an incredibly important project that you know, had millions of dollars of funding. It says the project will include, here's your key point, the project will include federal agencies, foundations, and teams of neuroscientists and nanoscientists. Nanotechnology is a key part of the story. In a concerted effort to advance the knowledge of the brain's billions of neurons and gain greater insights into your perception, gain greater insights into your actions, and gain greater insights, ultimately, into your consciousness. And you gotta, and here's the line, scientists also see it as a way to develop technology to understand diseases like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and blah, blah, that's their cover story. The key part is the project will include federal agencies and foundations. The federal agencies, they don't tell you, are groups like the NSA, the Department of Homeland Security, DARPA. This is who will have access to mapping the human brain so they can gain a greater knowledge of your perception. You know, that, I mean, we're talking about how you perceive things, why you perceive things to be the way they are, your actions, why you do what you do, and mapping that thought process. Ultimately, it states, mapping your consciousness, gaining a greater insight into your consciousness. That's the inner workings of you, obviously. You know, you're the psychology guy. You're the guy who knows everything about psychology and sociology. This is unbelievably horrifying. What are they going to do with that information, Dave?
Well, they're using it, it's a lot like what you talked about in Germany with voice-to-skull technology. They're going to use it to manipulate for their own end. You know, let me draw a bigger picture here. This is such good information, Josh, and I really appreciate you bringing it up. But it's a smaller part of a bigger paradigm. What we're seeing here is the ultimate goal of the globalists, as we know, and we've seen lots of articles with their quotes. The globalists say they want to depopulate the Earth by 90%. But on the way to doing so, they like a lot of slow kill methods, a lot of manipulation methods. They want to make money on our demise. And as we slide into oblivion, so to speak, as a human race, if they get their way, they're going to make money off of us, and this is just one of the ways they do it. You know, not funding proper cancer treatments. I didn't say research. We have all the research we need. It's time to put
right.
things into treatment now. I don't want to hear run the race for cancer. Run the race for cancer treatment. But they're making money on our demise. And things that would solve major diseases are suppressed. This is why, the FDA has gone after doTERRA and essential oils, because they work. Hello, I'm raising my hand. FDA, I have to tell you, my unsolicited anecdotal opinion here as a patient, they work. This stuff works. I'm living proof of it. That's what's going on here, Josh. It's a smaller part of a bigger paradigm.
Well, you know as well as I do that a lot of this is population control. A lot of the cure for cancer, the cancer was cured. 48 people who were terminal were cured by Dr. Raymond Rife, who was then murdered, thanks to when he basically cured cancer without any type of invasive procedure. That was his key. And as he was doing his research, this was the 1930s, by the way, that he cured cancer. Dr. Rife, R-I-F-E, those who want to look it up, Raymond Rife, was eventually murdered, and the reason was because his procedure was non-invasive. It had nothing to do with actually cutting or using radiation, the insanity of that, breaking the body down to such a low point that it has to fight back, has to recognize the cancer as an enemy. So I don't even, that just blows my mind that we've allowed it to go that far, when in the 1930s, this guy cured cancer in 48 terminal patients with all these different types of cancer, and he did it without cutting on anyone, without any radiation at all, without any invasive procedure. And when he, announced this to the medical community, a friend of his worked for the newly formed, what eventually was the newly formed American Medical Association, the AMA, and he, called him up and informed him, I've done it, I've got all the research, all my team has put together all the details on how this can be done on a nationwide level. We've cured cancer down here. And the guy from the AMA's immediate reaction was, no, you haven't. Dr. Rife, yes, I have. I've cured cancer. I'm not kidding. No, I'm not kidding. You haven't. You haven't cured anything. We know these little details because of his family, his daughter, who has all his research and has documented everything. But it just shows how treacherous these people are. Yeah, they want to map the human brain. Yes, of course they keep the cancer cure from the American people because they make so much money. And when, the idea of mapping your consciousness, mapping your perception, how you do things and why you do them, and they're not telling you which agencies will get all of this information. It's a 10-year study, Dave. This is the world we live in. These are the people that we're dealing with. And the story gets worse. I mean, it gets it goes into a much worse place if you can't believe that.
There's a byproduct to all this too, Josh. It's just, it's like Hitler gave, the Nazis gave fluoride to the concentration camp prisoners so they'd be more docile and easier to murder. Well, we have fluoride, but also now we have mind control techniques being used against us. We know that we can manipulate personality with electronic means, and they certainly have that ability to do so. So the one thing about the globalists, you have to say, with DARPA, they employ the best people, the best minds. They come up with multifaceted plans. They never do something in singularity. They do everything with multiple objectives in mind for,
right,
as you said, goals,
right,
that are 20 years down the road, no question about it. As I'm looking at our sheet here about topics we were going to talk about getting into here, do we have any more to say about brain mapping? Because there is one area I really want to get into, and that's the homeless disappearances. But let's tie a loop
yeah.
on the let's tie a loop on the brain mapping. What do you think our listening audience should take away from this discussion?
What I would do is, and you and I have had mentioned the hidden cell phone tower part of the story, and I mentioned to you that that's part of it, and a lot of people have reported this. This got a little bit of press earlier in the year, 2015, a little bit in 2014, that there are these hidden cell phone towers out and about, basically dressed up like trees, disguised as trees. See them, on the side of the interstate. We've got a couple here in Birmingham that are almost so well-known, it's like a tourist attraction. You see it when you're stuck in traffic. You gotta stare at it pretty good for a little while, be stuck in traffic for about 5 minutes and just stare into the trees, you'll see them. And I guess what I want people to take away from this would be, do the research yourself, because these stories move into, like I said, a much more dangerous place. And the only way to do the research is to know what you're searching for. So you can tie all this together, brain mapping, the hidden cell phone towers, even chemtrails are a part of the story. So do your own homework on that one, and have good nightmares. You're welcome.
We've had Virginia Farver on our show. She's a lady that lives in Fort Collins, and not by choice, but she's become a political activist. And this is her area. Her son suffered massive brain tumors as the result of being near high voltage devices on the San Diego State University campus. And yes, I want to give all you administrators at San Diego State University all the credit that you so richly deserve for still continuing to cover up the cancer clusters on your campus and continuing to partner with DARPA, DHS, and the NSA to install your secret surveillance equipment on your campus and exposing your students to untold harm. Anyone that sends their child to San Diego State University needs their head examined. In fact, that just reminds me, Katie, we probably should get Virginia back on since we're getting a whole new audience to tell that story again. But
sounds
but,
good.
Yeah, but we talked about, Josh, they have a multitude of purposes for the same project, and those cell phone trees, same thing. When you go buy them, I found this out quite incidentally by talking to one of my sources. He said they pull all the data right off your phone. Everyone that passes by, those are also not just cell phone towers, but they're data collection devices as well. And I'll give you one more.
I think they call them, don't they call them stingrays? Is that the same thing? Okay, right.
Yeah, well, there's another form of stingray out there. Have you heard about this? The chemtrails are producing nano-sized particles, and I am not enough of a scientist in this area to explain it intelligently, because this is outside my wheelhouse. But the way I understand it, and I know Dr. Ted Brower knows quite a bit about this as well, is the chemtrails are dropping this residue that gets into our food, and we consume it, and it makes us trackable. Have you heard that?
See, now you're getting into the really creepy part where you lose people. And when I say you lose people, people are taught, you automatically turn off your mind when you hear something like that. Because they don't have that kind of technology. And that's not true. You're 100% right.
We're hitting the cognitive dissonance switch, really, where people just, well, I can't believe that. That was my reaction, too. Josh, I was right there with you when I first heard that, and I know I've heard Ted talk about it a number of times, and I went and researched it, and sure enough, you traced the patents. The patents are out there. They're in the public domain, and I asked people, why do you think they have these patents if they don't have the goods? To get a patent, you have to demonstrate that what you're saying you have works, which means you have the product, and this stuff is patented. Yeah, So I know the cognitive dissonance crowd will turn their mind off to this, and it's okay because we know the truth.
Well, that's what they're told to do. It's what they're taught to do from a very young age. I'm still amazed. Literally, I mean, I'm absolutely amazed that so-called conspiracy radio or conspiracy news has become so incredibly popular, and has become so popular that it's switched people from being a mainstream media, always feeding that mainstream media trough, to going and listening to people like us or reading information that we provide that is so against the mainstream. I'm absolutely amazed that so many people are that brave and that bold to go against the mainstream. It just shows you that you can only take a dog for so long until the dog bites you back. That's pretty much a great description of the American people. A friend of mine described it to me that way. You can only kick that dog for so long until it's going to do one or two things. It's either just going to submit completely, or it's going to decide, I don't have to take this, I'm going to bite you back. That's pretty much where we are. That's where we are at the moment.
Do you know, I just committed a sin that Trump would never commit. Let's go back to something we said earlier in the show. I took this discussion to a much higher plane, and we got into the more esoteric kind of science. Even if you can validate it through following the trail of patents and making the proper assumptions in which the chronology of the patents occur, and you can draw such a conclusion, people will say, oh, you're too out there, like you just said. And what does Trump do? Keep it simple, stupid, kiss.
Well, you know, I think it's a smart thing that you did, and I don't even think you knew you did it. But you referred to this esoteric science. It is esoteric. It almost has an occult feel to it. It has that there's some really dark hidden agenda to this, and how could there not be? But to tie this back into what we've been discussing for a while, you know, the idea of mind control, or the idea of, like I said earlier, you hear those two words, people immediately back off. And you hear that the chemtrails now have, in certain areas, now have nanotechnology in them. You and me, oh, that's bad. We can't believe that. But at the same time, the story from, again, the Boston Globe, mainstream media, the story from the Boston Globe about the brain mapping project, it clearly states that nanoscientists will begin to have total access to this project. Neuroscientists will have total access to this project. Nanotechnology is a very key part of that project. And it even mentions in that same story that it will be used to further the government's research in artificial technology. It's no longer science fiction, is what we've got to get across to people. If you think it's science fiction, if you think for a second they don't have that technology, it kills me the way that people think that the technology that they claim that they have is the limit to how far they've actually gone. You know, we have, you ever used Google Earth, Dave? You ever used that? You know, get access to Google satellite, look down at your house and see your car sitting there in the driveway, that kind of thing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Okay. Yeah, you almost everybody's done it. You almost have to, just out of curiosity, to see if I can access this outer space satellite. And if that's what we can do, just we the people, we're allowed that technology, what do you think they have that they don't tell us about? That's the kind of technology that we're allowed to wield. What exactly, how far have they gone? DARPA's research alone is so incredibly disturbing, it'll give you nightmares. They've gone so far and so deep. You know, last time you and I talked, you mentioned how DARPA began creating those basically Defense Department robots that can kill a human being. You know more about that than I do.
That's child's play to come up with that. The robots, they have different levels of robotics. They have the type that are now even sentient, and they're experimenting with them in Afghanistan. They had robots leading point on missions in Afghanistan because it was thought, well, if they step on the booby trap or if they're shot from an unexpected angle, it's a machine and not a human being. Oh, that's a good use of the technology. And then they actually created sentient robots that were capable of reprogramming themselves without human interface. And to put that in non-clinical and simple terms, what that means is the robots can think for themselves and adjust on the run, much as they train the Marines to do in boot camp. And that's pretty scary. And these robots are armed with facial recognition. And I've got, if you put robotics, go up to the Common Sense Show search engine, put up robotics and weapons and so forth, you'll see they have some that can run 30 miles an hour. They can outrun a bear. They are armed. They have facial recognition. They can carry out assassinations. This is the future we're headed towards. This is what they've developed. And some of the technology that they've developed with these robots and what they can do is incredible. They have this thing called a micro-aerial vehicle, MAV for short. And people should watch this video. It's phenomenal. They'll have a drone that'll release a small drone. I mean, we're talking a drone maybe that's no more than 6 to 8 inches in diameter. And this drone will swoop into an area, and then that drone will break up into parts. I forget what those toys were called, but we used to assemble these toys in pieces, and you could unassemble them. This is exactly the technology they're using here, and you can create up to 100,000 different little drones. Some of them can shape themselves to look like insects, birds, and they can be armed with weapons. They can communicate one-to-one. They can communicate one to the mass. The mass can communicate with each other. So effectively, you create 100,000 soldiers that are on the smaller side of things. And it's just incredible. And they're called micro aerial vehicles. And this is how old the technology is. It was 5 years ago that the Air Force released this video. So we're talking 2011. And like you like to say, Josh, we know this now. How far has the technology come?
I have not heard of that. I knew that DARPA had done a big deal and been on Fox News just recently. Bragging all about this new, they called it the fly on the wall. That was their little code name for it. I'd like to be a fly on the wall in that room, or I'd like to be a fly on the wall in the White House. Basically, it was just a drone that had a microscopic camera on it, but it looked like a bee. It looked like a honeybee. It was the size of a honeybee. And, this was on Fox News, and they're bragging about how this is our new project, and it'll be ready for the field, and blah, 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 years, and no, this is probably something they pulled out from 10, 15 years ago. I don't even want to know how far down the road they are.
There is, I went to the conference, the Watchman conference this weekend, and Pastor Billy Crone was there, and he did an hour and a half presentation, full on videos, on all of what you're talking about. He's got the MAVs, he had updates on the robots. When you were finished with the presentation, exactly what Dave is suggesting is so true. How far have they gone? Because people's mouths were just dropped open. And what Dave was just talking about, the MAVs, a plane will fly over a certain area, and they're putting this under the guise of guerrilla warfare and military. Now, maybe that's how they're selling it. But what happens is they'll unload the cargo bay, and there's literally tens of thousands of these tiny little insects they look like insects, and they just, a cloud of them can fall upon a city. They can get into chimneys, they can get into your homes, they can get into your cars. It is absolutely, and they're undetected, amazing and terrifying. Billy Crone.
What's the guy's name that was doing this?
Pastor Billy Crone, C-O-R-N-E. If you go to getalifemedia.com, he's got all the videos. He's got amazing information on there.
Well, we had Billy on the show.
Mm-hmm.
We got to have Billy back on the show.
Sounds good. Yep. It's fascinating.
Well, it's fascinating. It's disturbing. And I don't, I think a lot of people also turn off. Like you were saying, Dave, they turn off because that's too far. I can't think about that. I've got to live my life. I think a lot of people, they turn off because, they do it for that reason, but at the same time, I think a lot of people turn off because they think to themselves, I may be somebody who pays attention, but I've still got to live. And I can't walk into my house if I think the government has the ability to drive by, police have the ability to drive through my neighborhood with scanners looking through my walls. I can't live my life if I think the next bee that happens to accidentally fly into my house actually has a microscopic camera on it. I can't become that guy. Through television and movies, they like to push this idea that if you think like these people, well, you're just going to be the crazy one, and you're going to be the one that nobody believes, and you'll end up living alone and dying alone, and you'll be so unfulfilled.
See, I think that's
absolute
what they want,
insanity.
Though. I think that's what they want. I think they want the fear factor. There's the denial factor, and then there's the fear factor. So there goes two audiences right out the door. But what I think is happening here is people are getting to a point in their life where this is driving people to God. It is driving people to faith. It is driving people to the only way through this nightmare. And this is a great thing. I live with this. Dave and I were just talking about how we have phone conversations. We know they're listening in. I've gotten to a place in my life, Josh, and basically to the audience, where it's okay because I'm covered. I don't care what they have because I'm covered. If they take my life, they take my life. If God spares my life, God spares my life. I have to keep moving forward with the nightmares that are coming at me, and that's where faith, that's where God, that's where why we are here. These people, you, me, Dave, we are here at this time for this time, and we can't run from it, and we can't deny it. And the people that are denying it are going to begin seeing these things invading their privacy to the point where hopefully they won't have that flipped out psychotic reaction. But they will turn to the Lord and say, you know, these things are, I know about these things. I'm educated on these. I know they're there, but I am not going to fear. We cannot fear this. We have to move through it. I know that's optimistic and Pollyanna, but I really believe that that's the only way we can get through this, with a calm spirit, a fearless spirit, and a righteous spirit.
No, I think that's very well said. I really do. I'm not just saying that. I think that's very well said. And I, you know, in doing all this research, and I do so much research, and so does Dave, and I'm sure so do you. In doing all of that research, we have a tendency to forget that there is a spiritual element to all of it. And like Dave was saying, you know, you've got the idea that it's an esoteric science. It is esoteric science. It is kind of an occult-based idea, but we forget about that, and we forget that it is evil at its core that drives these men. You know, going back to what we were saying earlier about Council of Foreign Relations, Strader Commission, Dave Brubb, Bilderberg Group. These are the organizations and just the group names that they have put on their little secret societies. But at the same time, what drives these men at their own core, it truly is evil. And that's why God has to be a major part of what we do, because this is a battle between good and evil, as ancient as the earth is. That's how old, you know, this is a very old argument, an old battle, but we forget there's that spiritual element to everything they do.
Yes, and there was a time where we could escape. We could go to another country that's less developed. We could turn everything off. There is a time coming quickly, actually I believe it's here, that there is no escape. There's nowhere to go, nowhere to hide. And so we, like I said, we are the generation. We have to make a choice. And we side, we get on God's army, we get on that side, or we fall to the dark. It's the dark and the light. It's the evil and the good. We are smack in the middle of the beginning of this battle. It's exciting. It's nerve-wracking. But you know what? We're on the right side if we're walking with God. He's not on our side. We are to choose His side.
I agree. And that's incredibly well said, and I'm glad you brought it back up. It needed to be brought up. You know, like I said, we lose sight of that. We forget. In doing all this research, you know, I think that has a lot to do with. I said this on my own show last night. I think a lot of the media that we have, you know, we have so many different news channels. These are 24-hour news channels. People get news alerts on their phone. You get, you know, a text message saying there's a new news story that you need to read, or there's a new story about your favorite celebrity. You got to read this. And then you turn on the radio, and now there's more music you've got to buy, and now there's more movies you've got to go see. And this is so much information, and with all the news events that are happening right now, from the election to the smaller news events that are happening, this is a tornado, it's a whirlwind of information. I think that's one of their key weapons, is using all that information to absolutely dumbfound you with info to where you lose yourself in it, and you forget about why we're doing this in the first place, what this is really all about, and it's really a spiritual war. I think as quick as those media stories come in, they come in so fast, and they change from day to day so incredibly quickly. I think that's speed by design. I think it's designed to be that way. Mm-hmm. For psychological reasons. You know, Dave can probably comment on the psychology behind that, of that speed by design.
It's not just the speed, although that's part of it. They'll present things to you in such rapid-fire succession that your conscious mind doesn't have time to process without going back over the material. So a lot of times we see people in the news, they'll even use their back button, their rewind button, to go back and see it. But when you play something really fast, you can bypass perceptual defense and influence opinions a whole lot easier. That's one aspect. But there's something even more, I think, compelling that's going on. The number of negative events that they're producing on these news shows are coming at you on the local news in such rapidity that it overwhelms short-term memory. And short-term memory basically is 30 seconds long, and it's about 7 to 10 digits on the outside that you can retain. And without rehearsal, that memory never makes it to long-term memory where it's permanently stored. And what they do is they just overwhelm us and bombard us, and it really causes us not to think critically, and we emote on that level because it's so quick, it's so rapid, it's so intense, and it's so negative. I've actually charted the news here locally in Phoenix, and from the three major network news, they are running at about 95% negative stories. Very few feel-good stories. Very, very few. And the one station that's an independent who has the highest rated news in all of Phoenix, their independent station, their negative news is about 65%. People are drawn to the positive. It's interesting the effects I've seen about this. I've actually approached some people at various universities to conduct studies where they have the resources available that I don't, but I haven't been able to generate any interest in this. So your instincts on this are right on the money. The news is postured in such a way as to cause us to emote and not critically think, to overwhelm us with negativity. That produces a sense of learned helplessness where we're less likely to act. It's a lot quicker and a lot less expensive than fluoride and some of the other mind-numbing agents we're exposed to. So you guys are right on the money.
Well, I think that, you know, again, going back to the whole what drives these men, what drives their evil, it is, you know, evil in a biblical sense. And I think going back to that, when we see all this negativity in the media, and I think that's pretty cool that people actually broke it down to a percentage. You know, they do 95% negative stories.
Yeah.
Oh, see, that's good information, man. I had wondered about had the negativity of these stories increased to an almost unbelievable level in the media. I mean, you know, there are to where basically you leave the viewer or the listener saying to themselves by the end of the news that they watch for 30 minutes or an hour or whatever, by the end of it, that you leave them with that negativity, and you leave them with that feeling that there's nothing I can do. That's got to be by design.
It is by design. Of course it is. And it's the same city to city. See, you know how you know it's by design? Because it's the same whether you're in Montgomery, Alabama, or you're in Denver, Colorado. The news in its format is identical. And when it breaks the paradigm, it's kind of funny, like, well, let me back up. I'm going to be specific here about Phoenix. Channel 3 News is the independent. And when ABC dumped them and they did the channel reshuffle when Fox came in to the mode back in the 1990s, we wondered how Channel 3 was going to survive. Well, they became independent. They became uplifting. They did a lot of stories on the community. They did a lot of feel-good stories, a lot of charity work. And they went right to the top of popularity. Now, here's what's really concerning. Their news is radically different than the other three network news, but they have now been taken over by the CBS affiliate in Phoenix, Channel 5. And it's too soon to tell what the effects are going to be, but I guarantee you the face of Channel 3 News is probably going to change.
Well, the negative energy that this produces, I guess, in human beings. You know, going back to the story about Dr. Rice and how he cured cancer, this guy went after cancer, and this is, to give credit where credit is due, I learned this in a Jim Mars book. I think Jim Mars wrote about it in Rule by Secrecy, which was one of the books that I credit with waking me up and getting me information that I couldn't get anywhere else. And it's being able to explain it in such a way. You hear that, Jim, if you're listening? I said a great promo for your book. I'd like you to come on my show, and then we could hang out, maybe get a steak, and that'd be cool. So I'm using your show to reach out to Jim Moore. Sorry, Dave. I apologize for that. Anyway, yeah. So I learned about this in Jim Moore's book, and this guy, Dr. Rife, cured cancer by attacking it through the energy levels, basically, in your body. All of our organs, all the organs in our body, they oscillate, they vibrate at a certain frequency. Attacking that frequency is becoming a very key part of most military research right now. Can you shut down the human body? Can you cause it to get sick through ELF waves, extremely low frequency, waves? And can this be done? And of course it can. And now they're building weapons that use this. But what Dr. Rife did was, because our bodies oscillate, our organs oscillate and they vibrate at a certain frequency, he began doing research on if you could tap into that frequency and get that frequency, which is basically just human energy, to find the cancer and view it as an enemy to attack, get your body to attack it naturally. How could you, can it be a fought in that way? That way you don't have to cut someone, you don't have to do radiation on them. And he literally created he called it the Rife Machine. Again, R-I-F-E for those taking notes. But he called it the Rife Machine, and he laid down beside the thing. He turns it on, and it, through a few treatments, he cured 48 people. Terminal cancer, this was the 30s that this went on. So, he wasn't dealing with the kind of technology that we had today. Like you were saying earlier, we're still doing run for the cure for cancer, or run for cancer treatment, and raising money to do studies on how long can we play that game? That's absolutely ridiculous. Using that energy, I think, is a key part of this. It's producing so much negative energy. When you watch that news and it's all negative, that's a lot of negative energy. That can make us sick. It can make us incredibly stressful. And Katie probably knows all about this, because this is, this is the health thing. Stress will absolutely break your body down, will it not?
Yes, it will, and that is why part of my healing, so much of my healing, is spiritual and emotional. And that's where, when I get these calls and I hear the noises and I see on the phone and I read about the technology, I have to process it. I have to balance it and put it in its proper perspective so that I can carry on. And that's what, I believe that is what God is telling us, is you live in this world, but you are not of this world. So learn to discern what you're seeing and know that it's a lie, and trust me. And that's been part of my healing. And Josh, you're spot on with this. And that's what I'm trying to encourage people, is learn, educate. Don't turn this stuff off. Don't tune it out. Learn it, but balance it with your faith in God and who wins in the end, and who can win right now. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And I have a lot of people tell me that they don't like to pay attention. I have listeners of my own show where I do this, this kind of stuff, same stuff that Dave talks about, which is very deep. And we're getting way past the norm. And I have people who listen to my show, and they will literally tell me in emails and messages that they don't listen to any other programs, anything else on the news. They don't listen to it. And the reason that they don't is they say it depresses them. And I've heard so many people make that statement, that I don't pay attention to what's going on because it depresses me. And, I've had people say, how do you spend all your time doing research on this? Doesn't it depress you when you read that? Doesn't it? And you can't let it, is my answer.
Right.
Of course, any emotional being, it would get you discouraged a little bit when you read this kind of stuff. But you can't. You've got to use, and for those who don't understand what I'm saying, you've got to use exactly what you're talking about, Katie. You've got to use the God element. Got to keep God involved in this, because that's the only way to view it through that filter. You've got to be able to view it through that filter.
Well,
that
I would add,
you to have this
Josh
info.
And Katie, I would add, faith without works isn't worth much.
Yeah.
Here's where I think people run into problems, is they intellectually and cognitively absorb this material, and they realize that we're up against a heck of a sophisticated enemy in a multitude of arenas. It's the New World Order has invaded every facet of our lives. And so if people just sit there, then this begins to eat at you, just like repressed anger. And it attacks your immune system. It affects your psyche. It causes less dopamine and serotonin production in the brain, which can lead to depression. So what I tell people is, when you get into this arena, and I just gave a talk not too long ago about this, when you get into this arena and you start finding out the way things really are and you lift the veil up, you now have an obligation to your own immune system. You must act. The action of acting negates a lot of the negative influences in your body. It's the same principles when you deal with psychological stress and you go and exercise, you break down those stress compounds and they don't do nearly as much damage. The same principle applies to us cognitively as well. And what I'm telling people, this goes to brain health, not just the immune system. It goes to spiritual health, not just physical health. So when you hear about these issues, and I say you need to get out and support Donald Trump if you're of that mindset, what does that mean to go out and support? Well, if you do nothing but just talk to people you encounter during the day about the issues and meet them where they're at on their level and just calmly and very politely and smile and laugh and make a joke, don't overwhelm them, you've done something. But the idea is here is when you have an obligation, when you learn this material, you better do something, because the purveyor of the secrets, and if you keep it secret inside you, you're going to pay a really heavy price. Josh, we have a decision to make here, Katie, and a program decision here too, because we've got about 6 minutes left in this segment, and there's something I really want to get into with Josh, and that's the idea of the homeless disappearance. And I would imagine that's about a 15-minute deal. So what I want to do is, Katie and I have a little buffer time today on the health report. So what I would like to do is to hold you over, if you're so willing, for the first 15 minutes of the next segment. Would you be willing to do that?
Yeah, that's fine. That's a really weird story that needs to be discussed. So, yeah, we can get into that one.
The other thing that I want to say to people, too, and I know you're both going to weigh in on this, I wrote an article, and I forget exactly what the title was now, but to paraphrase it, it basically asks the question, does God have his hand on the Trump miracle? And then some people take things so literally, and they don't understand I was speaking more in a metaphor and more in the spiritual realm. Not that I think Trump is Jesus Christ reincarnated. I don't. Not that I think he's a perfect man worthy of idolatry. I don't. And that's the spirit in which some people approached me after the article. What I was saying is, anybody else at any other time in history, for the way he shifted the consciousness of this country and opened up the eyes of millions to the absolute evil criminality that's going on from our leadership, they'd be dead. A long time ago, they would have been dead. And the collective prayers that have followed Donald Trump, people saying we're praying for his safety, we're praying for the movement, we're praying that people's eyes will be opened to the truth so they can act in accordance with their own Christian principles and their own life values. There's something magical going on with this movement, and I want to get both of you to respond to that.
Okay, you go first. No, go right ahead.
Well,
go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I agree with what you just said, Dave. I can see where there's going to be people coming in saying that you know, you're being religious about this and you're idolizing Trump. It's whatever. Politics is politics. It's all, to me, it's all nonsense. But in terms of people's safety, in terms of an awakening of the country, in terms of the message, yeah, why shouldn't we be praying for people's safety? Why shouldn't we be doing that? Aren't we supposed to be praying for our leaders, whether it's Obama or Trump? But I think that's what you were talking about. But it's also the prayer involved of protecting him is also vibrating, as Dr. Ted would talk about the scalar waves. It's also vibrating in a sense that it's waking people up. They're seeing things they've never seen. He's speaking things about what's happening behind the curtain that people have known in their gut, but never no one ever acknowledged it. They kept it suppressed. No, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Just go watch your football games and eat your pizza and all that. That was not a dig at you, Dave. It wasn't really. It just came out. But I think you're right about that. I think that prayer is awakening and causing an earthquake of information and protection that's happening throughout. That's my take on that one.
No, I like the earthquake of information. I'm glad I came up with that.
You guys have stolen two things to me.
Yeah, I'm stealing that one too. See, I like mine better. Mine is whirlwind of information, or tornado if you're Southern. Tornado of information. That's put that on a t-shirt. I agree with you, and I agree with what Dave said, and I had a psychology professor in college who made a statement one day that he was discussing stress and negativity. And he made a statement that a lot of people view stress and negativity as just energy, or it's just, it doesn't really exist. There's nothing real about it. And he said, if you view it that way, you're 100% wrong. That stress has weight. That was his quote. And I never forgot that for some reason. But when I see, all the Trump stuff and stress has weight, and the amount of stress that they're causing, the media is causing, by promoting all this negativity and this hatred, and all the hatred's coming from them, and we know that. We're not stupid. The hatred thing, all the hate is coming from the media. The hate's coming and being built up by these groups. But whether you agree with Trump or not, and I've been saying this to people, whether you agree with the guy or not, he must be allowed to speak his mind. He must be allowed to have free speech. No American should fear for his life because he has spoken something that he had an opinion about. And this really is a godly thing. It is an energy thing. It is all about spirituality. And nobody should fear for their life, that their life may be taken from them, because they had an opinion about a politician or about a congressman or about anything, especially in America. So I wholeheartedly agree with them.
Agreed.
Well, I happen to agree too, but unfortunately that's not the way the world works. We're using political correctness as a pejorative term to limit free speech. We have an attorney general who said she's going to prosecute people for talking about radicalized Muslims. Radicalized, the kinds that kill 14 people in San Bernardino. She wants to come after you if you speak about this. So much for freedom of speech. I mean, we're going to see, listen, people are going to tune in one night and the Common Sense Show isn't here. You won't hear Doug Hagman Show. You won't hear Ted Brewer. It's coming. They're going to take DNS down. Anyway, we're going into the break. Hold on, Katie. We're going into the break. We'll start with you, and we're going to get into the homeless issue when we come back, and Katie's health report will be up. Stay tuned. We will see all of you in hour number 3.